Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Today we are in the third week of our sermon series titled, I'm In. So this is a series that it pretty much talks about our identity, about who we are as children of God, as His sons and daughters. And so in this, for the past couple of weeks, I've been going through different attributes about who we are, you know, to just sort of like shed a light to you and help you understand and help you know who you are in light of the kingdom of God. So week one, we looked at the fact that you and I are invited. We are invited in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you did. Jesus invites you into His family. And should you choose to accept that invitation, He will change your life and turn it from trash to treasure. Because that's what Jesus does. And last week, we looked at the fact that we are invaluable to the work of God. We learned that we are essential, we are crucial, we are vital to the body of Christ. That your role, that the role that you have to play in the body of Christ is so important, that the body of Christ needs you and your gifts and your skills and your abilities to be able to function the way that it should. And so you're not just a body sitting here in the pew this morning, but rather you are invaluable. But rather, you are needed, you are necessary, you are vital to the body of Christ, that whatever you have to offer is needed for the success of the body of Christ. And so this morning, we're going to look at another element that I believe is so crucial and so important as to who we are. But at the same time, I believe it's one of those things that many of us really don't, it's either we don't understand or we don't fully embrace it. Otherwise, if we did, then our world would be completely different. And that truth is this, that you and I, we are influential. Amen. You are influential. Everybody say, I'm influential. You are influential. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. You know, it's crazy how in our world, when we talk about influence, when we talk about people who are influencers, we tend to mostly look at the people who have a million followers on Instagram, or like 5 million followers on Facebook, we regard those people to be influencers. And chances are, if I was to ask you if you think that you're an influencer, chances are you'd say that, you know what, I don't think I'm an influencer. But truth of the matter is you are an influencer. Truth of the matter is you are influential, because that is a mandate that we've been given by God, that we are influential. And I want you to learn and understand that this morning. And I want that by the time that we're living here today, that you would understand and know and embrace the fact that you are influential. And so we're going to see that in the passage of scripture that we're going to read this morning, which is in Matthew chapter 5. So would you turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5, because that's where we're going to be at this morning, from verse 13 to verse 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. And this is what the word of God says, that you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In another Bible version, it says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. Amen. In this passage of scripture, we see Jesus using a metaphor and identifying his followers as the salt and the light. As the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, let's pay attention to what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that you should be the salt or you could be the salt of the earth. No. He's saying that you are the salt of the earth, which means that it's a fact. It's a fact. It's not a suggestion. It's not, I think. No, you are the salt of the earth. It's a fact. Jesus is saying that that is who you are. That is your identity. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, by virtue of you being a Christ follower, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And the world, you, is a word that is plural, which refers to all believers and it refers to the whole church. That all believers are the salt and the light of the earth. So you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Now, this means that Jesus was trying to let his disciples and his followers know that for you to impact the world, for you to change things in the world, for you to influence the world, then you're going to have to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what it's going to take for you to be able to impact and influence the world. Because you see, in the ancient days, the salt was actually a very, very precious commodity. Salt was, it was a very prized mineral because people used salt to preserve food and also they used salt as seasoning and flavoring as we do today. Because in those days, before the invention of the refrigeration, if people wanted to preserve food, if they wanted to keep the food fresh, at least not to decay and rot, they would use salt to be a preservative so as to keep food to last longer. So salt was very, very important because it was used to help to keep food from going bad, from rotting, and from decaying. Therefore, what Jesus is saying is that just as how salt is used as a preservative to preserve food from rotting and decaying, similarly, a Christian ought to be a preservative to preserve the world from corruption and decay. Amen? You are a preservative. You are to keep the world from decaying and this world from rotting. You are an influencer. You are the salt of the earth. Now, we all know that we live in an increasingly irreligious, non-spiritual, and morally corrupt world where the standards have been lowered significantly. And it doesn't matter whether it's standards of integrity, standards of diligence, you know, standards of ethics and moral standards, they've all been lowered significantly. That's the world that we live in. And so what is our part in that? What are we supposed to do in light of the situation that we're in? We as the body of Christ, we as Christians ought to be the people who hold high up the ethical and moral standards and consequently influence the world so as to neutralize the decay. That's your job. That's my job. That we are supposed to take up our rightful place so as to neutralize the decay in the world. But for some weird reason, it seems like we fail to do that. If you ask me, in all honesty, I feel like the church, I feel like the body of Christ is losing influence by the day. It feels like the world is winning. That the world is able to push its agendas, the world is able, you know, to really just be able to set the standard for people, and the body of Christ is just sitting quietly and it's just sitting there and not doing anything about it. It feels like we are losing influence by the day. And it's not a surprise that we're losing influence. You know why? Because we have forsaken our responsibility to be the salt of the earth. Because if you don't do it, who will? If I don't do it, who will? The reason why we are in this earth is so that we can be able to be the salt of the earth, to bring flavor to this world, but also to preserve this world. Jesus has appointed you and he has appointed me to influence this world. We are influencers. We're supposed to be the change makers. We're supposed to be the people who impact the world for the better. We are supposed to be the people who make things happen in this world, who turn things around. We are. But when we as the body of Christ forsake our duty, when we forsake our responsibility to be the salt of the earth, then you know what? The world continues to decay each and every single day because we are choosing not to play our part. And this often happens in two ways. One, it's either we tend to conform to the patterns of the world. We tend to want to blend in with the world and look so much like the world. And so as a result, we're not able to be the salt of the earth. Or sometimes what we tend to do is that we become too saved that we then decide to lock ourselves up in our churches and we do not want any interaction with the world. And as a result, we lose our influence in the world. Because let me tell you, there is no influence without interaction. You cannot influence somebody from afar. You influence people through proximity. when you interact with people, that's how you are able to influence people. You influence people through the relationships you have with them. You influence people through interacting with them. But when you choose to be too saved to interact with people, you know what? And you lock yourself up in the church and we're here, you know, having just our time together and we're only hanging out in the Christian circles and we only hang out with church folks and we don't interact with the world. You know what? The world is getting lost each and every day because there is nobody to impact them. Because there's nobody to touch their lives. And so you and I ought to be the salt and the light of the world. Church, we're not called to conform. We're not called to conform. We're called to stand out. For salt to do the work that it needs to do, it has to be different. We're not called to conform. We are called to stand out. Do not blend into the world. Do not blend into the world. You be different. There's a reason why God has changed your life. There's a reason why he has transformed you and given you a new purpose and a new future so that you can be able to impact the world. So why are you trying to conform? Because there is no way that you're going to make a difference, that I'm going to make a difference if I'm also trying to look exactly like the world. Because for me to impact the world, then it means that I have to bring something different to the table. That there's got to be something different about me that I bring to the table that brings change to the world that we're in. But if I'm also trying so hard to blend in and to look exactly like the world, there is no way that I'm going to be able to make a difference, and so won't you. And so for us to be influencers, we have to get to a place where we're ready and willing to stand up and be like, you know what, I'm going to be different. You know what, I know the standard that God has set, and you know what, I'm going to choose to live by those godly standards because I'm going to show the world how we're supposed to live because I am the salt of the earth. Your ability to influence people and make a difference lies in your uniqueness, in your being different. So when you choose to conform, chances are what that means is that you're choosing to align yourself by worldly values. It means that you're choosing to accept the values of the world, that you're choosing to live by the rules of this world, the world that is already rotten and decaying by the day. You're forsaking your godly values, you're forsaking biblical values for the worldly values. And you know what? When you do that, you then lose your saltiness because there's nothing different about you and there's nothing different about me if I am conforming to the values and the standards of this world that are different from the godly standards that we're called to live. And so we need to get to a place where we're going to have to make a decision as Christ followers to actually stand up and be like, you know what, I'm going to be different and I'm going to impact the world for Jesus. That, you know what, I'm going to influence the world because Jesus has called me to be the salt of the earth. That, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to actually talk to my colleagues. I'm going to influence the people in my sphere so that I can be able to impact them. Because you know what, Jesus did not say that you are the salt of the shaker. He said you are the salt of the earth. You see, salt in the shaker makes no difference. It's no good. It's of no use. For salt to have an impact, it needs to get out of the shaker and touch the meat so that it can preserve it. And so for you to be the salt of the earth, what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to get out of your little corner, out of your safe space, out of your little church, and then go out and interact with the world and impact the world because salt is only powerful when it interacts and touches the meat that needs to be preserved. And so you need to get out of the shaker. Get out of the shaker and go and impact the world. You are not the salt of the shaker. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. So engage the world. Engage the world in order to impact the world. But of course, you need to engage it wisely. That's also another thing. You know, engage the world wisely. Make sure that you're the one that's influencing and not the one that is being influenced. Because if we're not careful, we can engage with the world and then we find ourselves being influenced by the world. Make sure that you're the one that's doing the influence and not the other way around because you are called to be an influencer. You are called to be a follower of Christ, but you're called to be an influencer to the world. So you influence the world. And so church, this morning, I just want you to know that the role that you play is so crucial in impacting this world. The role that you play, wherever God has placed you, that's exactly where you need to be so that you can be able to impact the world for him. So that you can be able to influence the world for him. Because you see, if you don't interact with your non-believing brothers or sisters or friends or colleagues, whatever, who will impact them? They need to be able to know how Jesus changed your life. They need to be able to see how your life is different, how Jesus transformed your life, and that may actually draw them to him. You know, they may have all these different philosophies as to how this world is and how this world needs to be. And then you can come there in the midst of the conversation and share a different perspective, a biblical perspective, a godly perspective, and then you can change their minds. Because you know what? You are supposed to be the salt of the earth. And you know what? Sometimes you may talk to somebody and you may feel like, well, you know what? I don't think I really did anything. But I'm telling you, there's a seed that was planted. Just step out and talk to them. Just step out and leave your truth. I'm telling you, a seed will be planted because influence isn't always obvious and it isn't always instant. So sometimes we tend to think that, well, you know what? When I talk to them, I expect them to actually get it like right now and change immediately. But no, you know, all you're required to do is just really live out your truth. All what you're supposed to do is just show them who you are. Show them the truth. You know, speak to them and let them know what the truth is. And I'm telling you, eventually, over time, something different will happen. It doesn't have to be instantly. You know, it's not always going to be obvious. But at some point, maybe even 5 years or 10 years down the line, you know, they will live a different life. Because of you choosing to take the first step to interact with them and to share with them the love of Christ, and to show them the truth, to show them how a godly man and a godly woman of God ought to live in this world. The other day, I was talking to some friends of mine, and one of my friends actually shared that how in her workplace, she has a colleague of hers who's a Muslim. And it just happens that, you know, that colleague of hers who happens to now be her friend, you know, is a person that whenever she has issues, she would always run to this friend of mine to go and ask for prayer or to ask for advice. Imagine that. This lady is a Muslim, but whenever she's going through something, whenever she has issues, she would always reach out and be like, hey, can I come to your office? Can you pray for me? Or can we pray together? And so she would pray with her. And she knows everything about this friend of mine, that she's a believer, that she goes to church, that she loves the Lord, you know. And yet, she's like, you know what? I need for you to pray with me. I need for you to advise me. So she advises her even on relationship matters, you know, because she was in a relationship with somebody that was not necessarily a holy relationship, a godly relationship. And she was then sharing with her as to how, you know, she was in a relationship with her now husband, and they were celibate throughout the entire relationship. You know, and by sharing that truth with her, you know, I'm sure that actually opened her mind that, oh, you know what, so this is actually even possible. You know, and she may not necessarily live, you know, or be in a celibate relationship right now, but I'm telling you, eventually, over time, perhaps she'll make that decision, be like, you know what, I want what she has. Yeah. And so that is impact, that is influence, that where God has planted you in your workplace, why don't you influence your workplace? Why don't you be the salt in your workplace? Why don't you set the standard in your workplace? Yeah. Why don't you be different in your workplace? Let them see something different about you that makes them be drawn to you so that you can lead them to Christ and show them who Christ is. So you need to live out your faith because you are an influencer. I am an influencer. But Jesus also said that, you know what, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And the light has one job and one job only, and that is to shine. A light has one job, that is to illuminate, to shine, to illuminate. And so we are the light of the world. We need to bear witness to the faith that is in us through personal example. You see, the light that we have, the light that we are, does not come from us. It comes from Him. We reflect His light to the world. And so when we let our light shine, you know what? It's going to lead them to Him. But when we choose to dim our lights, when we choose to hide our lights, you know what? They will never be able to see Him. They'll never be able to see the light. But you and I are called to be the light of the world. Because when you hide your light, you lose your influence. When you choose to be a secret agent Christian, when you choose to be a covert Christian, you lose your influence. Because there is nothing like a secret agent Christian. No, we are called to go into the world and make disciples. Go. You know, we are called to shine. We're not called to hide. Because if a lamp is hidden, then what good does it do? You are supposed to shine. We're supposed to shine to the world so that they can see our Father in heaven, that they can glorify Him. Not for our own glorification, but so that they can glorify Him. So my question to you this morning is, are you a light among your family? Are you a light among your acquaintances? Are you a light at the work? Are you a light at the gym?
Are you a light in your community?
Does anyone in your circles or your spheres even know that you are a Christian? Does anyone in your spheres or your circles even know that you are a light burning with the fire of heaven? Do they even know it? Do they even see it? What good works do they see you doing that reflect on who your Heavenly Father is? Do they even know, or do we hide it? Because I know that sometimes, you know, we modern day Christians, we don't like people to know that we are Christians. You know, we'll be like, well, you know what? Actually, I had a lady a couple of years ago come to me and be like, well, you know what? I think I preached on something similar to this a couple of years ago. And she was like, well, you know what? I think I disagree with what you're saying because I believe that my relationship with Jesus ought to be personal. It's just between me and him and nobody else has to know about it. And I'm like, really? Is that what the Bible says? Because imagine if somebody else had chosen to be a secret Christian, how would the gospel have gotten to you? But I think sometimes we tend to do that and we try to say those things so that we can make ourselves feel better because we are so scared of standing out. We're so scared of living out our truth because we know that it's not popular, that the world may not like us, that we may not be the coolest people in the crowd. You know, the world will probably ridicule us. The world will probably, you know, make fun out of us. But you know what? That shouldn't matter because you are called to be the light of the world. You are not called to be a believer in secret. No, you are supposed to live out your faith so that the world can see who your Father is through you. That's what we're supposed to do. And so we need to stop dimming our lights. We need to stop being scared and showing the world who we are. We need to show the world that our Father in heaven is a God, is a godly person. You know, he's holy, he's righteous, and we need to live by those standards because that is how we're going to influence the world. So your faith should cause you to behave differently than the world. Because church, if the world fornicates and we fornicate, what is the difference? If the world lies and we lie, what is the difference? If the world does a sloppy job and we do a sloppy job, what is the difference? If the world doesn't love their spouses and we don't love our spouses, what is the difference? If the world endorses divorce and we do the same, what is the difference? If the world is lazy and we are lazy, what is the difference? How are we going to impact the world if we are exactly like it? We need to show them who Jesus is. We need to represent Jesus the way that he desires to be represented. You know, we need to show the real Jesus of the Bible, and that Jesus, you know what, was a very controversial person. Jesus, he hung out with everybody and he loved people and whatnot, but then again, he never hid his truth. He always spoke his mind. He always stood by his convictions, even if it was going to mess with people, but he would speak his truth. So when are we actually going to stand up and begin to live by our convictions? Because it's time, and that time is today. That time is now. Because this world is perishing and there's nobody else who's coming, but we are here. There's a reason why when you got saved, Jesus did not then take you and ship you to heaven straight away, but he left you here on earth so that you can be able to make a difference. And so what are we doing to actually live that mandate? What are we doing to actually be the salt and the light in this world? Because we are called to influence the world. And so church, we have to look different. We have to act different and we need to live different. Because I tell you, if we live for Jesus, we will glow like lights, shining brightly with his love. Many who are living in spiritual darkness will be attracted by our light and they'll want to step in it. But that will happen only when we choose to be the light. And so as I close, I want to leave you with this one thought. Church, I urge you and I pray that please do not be influenced by the world. Instead, let the world be influenced by you. Amen. Let the world be influenced by you because you are a powerful influence for good and for God. In a world of sin and decay, you could be a powerful influence for preserving goodness and morals. In a world of confusion and darkness, you could be a light pointing others to Jesus. You and I are called to be the conscience of our fellows, and the church is called to be the conscience of a nation. That is us. That is who we are. That's the mandate that we are given by God. And so we must live in such a way that in our presence, no doubtful language will be used. That in our presence, no questionable stories will be told. That in our presence, no dishonorable action will be suggested. That in our presence, We will be a cleansing antiseptic in the circles in which we move. That wherever we are planted, we are going to be the cleanser. We are going to clean things. We're going to change things. We're going to shed light to things because we are different. Because, church, this world does not need a bunch of Christians who will crawl into the spiritual storm shelters each week and talk a good game. It needs Christians who will engage and challenge the world with godly living and a Christ-centered message. That's what this world needs. And the world needs that from each of us. It needs that from you. It needs that from me. It's our obligation. It's everybody's job to be the salt and the light. Because you know what? You have a sphere of influence that I'm not a part of. And so you ought to be the salt and the light in your sphere of influence, wherever that is and whoever those people are. You are placed there and planted there for a reason. There's a reason why you have those relationships with those people. There's a reason why God has planted you in that workplace. There's a reason why you are partnered up with a certain person, you know, to do business. There's a reason why you are in a certain university. There's a reason why you are there, because you have an influence in that circle that I'll never get access to. Yeah. The person sitting next to you has their own circle of influence that you will never have access to. And so imagine if each and every one of us would choose today to be like, you know what, I am going to influence the people in my spheres, the people in my circles. Imagine how different things would be. Imagine how we'd be able to impact and change the world should each and every one of us choose to influence our spheres. This world will look different. This world will be different because influence is not about the platform. Influence is about people. So even if God gives you that one person or two people to influence, you know what? Do it, because that will make a difference. Amen. Because those two people become four, because the four become eight, the eight become 16, 16, 32. And you know what? Eventually, we will change the world. But it always starts with that one person. Amen. So you begin with right where you are planted. Because I'm telling you, a handful of salty and lit Christians can influence the society and change the entire culture. Yeah. We just need to be salt and the light. That's it. And we will change this culture because we have been given the mandate by God to influence the world. And so I leave you with this, church. As you walk out of this place today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be bold. I want you to influence your spheres so that you can then change the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Father, you would see us to be so fit so as to give us this mandate, Father, to be the salt and the light of the earth. Father, we thank you that you would trust us with this mandate, God, to go and influence the world. This is who we are, Lord. This is the truth of who we are. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And, Father, we live in a world that is deteriorating away each and every waking day, oh God. And we as the church, God, have been sleeping. Father, I pray today that may you awaken us, Lord. May you wake us up, King of Kings, Father. May we stop being secret disciples, God. But Father, may we go public with our faith. Jesus, may you give us the boldness and the courage to be able to live out our truth. Holy Spirit, may you invade our hearts. Holy Spirit, may you give us convictions so strong that we will live out our faith wherever we are. That we'll find the bravery to stand up for what we know is true. That we will not stay silent when we need to speak. That we will not be scared when we need to stand up. Because God, you've called us to be the salt and the light of the earth. Holy Spirit, move in your church. Holy Spirit, move in us, breathe on us, set us ablaze so that we can be able to do the things that you're calling us to do. Set us ablaze so that we can begin to be influential as the way that we are supposed to. May this truth about who we are that we've learned today, may it sink in, God. And Father, may we go and then be the salt and the light in our world beginning today, this very hour that we live this church. Father, we thank you. We thank you because, God, you are so loving, and God, you are so good that you still choose to use us, Father, to impact your world. God, may you be glorified in our lives. May our brothers and sisters see you in us.
God, may we be your salt and your light in this world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.